Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to Can We Talk Radio. I am your host, Raz Williams. This show is coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 Pacific Standard Time. Guys, we have a good show lined up for you today. We've got a really interesting topic that I wanted to talk about probably a month ago, but, you know, we had kind of had to lead up to it by doing other subjects. So we're going to be talking about unmasking the hidden dangers of sexually explicit material, but more specifically, we will be addressing pornography addiction. I actually wanted to use pornography in the title of my show. However, Blog Talk would not allow me to use the word porn, so I had to change it to sexually explicit material. But anyway, this is going to be an interesting show because, I mean, many men, including myself, at some point in our lives have been, you know, have delved into porn at different extremes, at some, you know, and also a lot of women have done the same thing too, so don't get it twisted. It's not just men, it's women as well. And I know that I've been to many a female friend's house and seen their stash of porn tucked away, you know, out in the cut somewhere. So it's both men and women, so you'll be surprised. But anyway, I want to get to my panel of co-hosts, or hosts, should I say. And she is an original member of the Can We Talk Radio group, and she's actually been away for the past 2 weeks, but she's back today, and I want to welcome Alicia Cheney back in the building. How you doing?
Hey, Raz. How are you? I'm doing good. Glad to be back. I missed you guys last week. I was only gone 1 week. It may have seemed like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I was only gone last week. I've been gone for 2 shows, but last week I was gone, and the week before I was here, and then I think the week before that I may have been gone as well. But glad to rejoin you guys this week. I'm sure last week's topic was wonderful, so you have to fill me in on that, or I'll have to listen on the archives.
Definitely, definitely. Now, Alicia, man, I mean, how's your week been? I mean, you had a good week pretty much. I mean, what's going on with you?
Yeah, it's been a good week. I tell you, whenever you go out of town and you come back in town, there's always a lot of catch-up. So I've been doing a lot of catch-up. So that's what my week has been like, but it's been a good week, and glad to see the weekend come and glad to be a part of the show tonight.
Definitely. So let me ask you, what do you think of the title of today's topic?
Wow, Raz, you definitely aren't holding back anything, and I think that's good. I think a lot of people will benefit from tonight's topic. When you mentioned about doing a topic on pornography and the addiction and the challenges that people face, I definitely believe that, once again, you're hitting on something that a lot of people struggle with, and hopefully tonight it'll give people some insight on really the dangers and what does the Word of God say, because sometimes people can have the misconception that just because I'm not engaging in a sexual activity but just looking at it that, oh, it's no big deal. And so I think tonight will hopefully uncover some things that people need to give some serious consideration to. So I think tonight's topic is good.
Awesome. That's absolutely. Now, Alicia, you know I want to ask you about the movie. Please tell me you saw the movie Temptation. OMG. Oh, my God.
You know what, Raz? Let me say this. Okay, you asked me if I had seen the movie. had a feeling that you may ask me that. Now, I do have a reason. I won't call it an excuse, but I do have a reason. And the reason, I was out of town over the weekend, and so my intention was to go while I was gone. But everyone else has seen the movie except for me, Temptation. So nobody was interested in seeing that movie. They wanted to go see the new movie, People. And so, unfortunately, I still haven't seen it. So I hope the next time you ask me this, I'm going to be able to answer yes. And you know what's interesting is I was talking to people as I was gone. Everyone was saying, oh, this and commenting and weren't really giving any specifics, so it gave the movie away. But it definitely piqued my interest more. So I'm like, okay, you know what, by the time I get to it, it's going to be on Redbox. So we hope that it's not that long. But, yeah, I have not seen it. I'm hoping to go see it soon, though.
Okay, well, hopefully, I won't get too old by the time you don't watch the movie, but, you know.
All right, I see you got the jokes already. You got more jokes lined up for us, too?
You know what? Actually, no jokes. I think I'm going to spare you this time. Unless, of course, you have one, Alicia.
I did not bring a corny joke to the table tonight. I'm sorry. I was counting on you to do that. That's kind of your role.
Okay,
so, no, I don't have any corny jokes. Unfortunately, I think you do such a good job with it. I kind of look forward to the jokes.
Okay. All right. Hey, you know what? I want to share something with the listeners and yourself, Alicia. I was looking at the stats today on our archive shows, and last week we talked about identifying emotional manipulators, and we had 640 people listen to that archive podcast. And the week before that, we talked about conquering insecurity and low self-esteem, and we had about 426 people listen to the show. That wasn't live, of course. It was actually the archive podcast that people listened to. And then one of the most popular shows that we did do, though, mind you, was The Right Mr. Right, where we had about 522 people listen to that show. So, by the way, Overcoming Temptation, we had 727 people listen to that show. And, of course, the highest rated show so far is our very first show, which was How to Position Yourself to Find Love God's Way, which was 899 people listen to that archive. So, total, we have 4,865 people that have listened to the archive shows and about 53 live listeners. And so, guys out there, I just wanted to thank you so much for following the show, and we really wish you would continue to support the show. Again, we're new to this, and we're working hard to bring you quality topics and subjects that you can kind of sink your teeth into and really learn a lot from. And so, what we want to do, though, is I definitely want to encourage you to please call in with questions or comments. We really want to interact with you more. So wherever you're calling from Chicago, from Los Angeles, from your mama's house, wherever you're calling from, call us. Talk to us. Let us hear your voice. Give us a comment or a question if you want to debate about something. We're here to talk. That's why I call the radio show, Can We Talk? So, with that said, our number is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you can also email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. That's canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Well, like I said, Alicia, there's no jokes today. And you know what? Hey, we're missing Mr. Ronnie, man. He hasn't called in on nothing, so I guess it's just me and you tonight. So how does that sound?
Well, sounds like we'll have an interesting discussion tonight on pornography. It's, as you were just sitting there stating the statistics on how many people listen to the show, the archives, it definitely is encouraging because it tells us that somebody is taking an interest in what we're doing here on Can We Talk. So that's great. So I'm excited for all the listeners out there. Thank you for tuning in every Friday night or even listening to the archives throughout the week. So hopefully we'll keep bringing good topics.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and get into this, Alicia. Well, pornography culturally has been around since the 1950s with the first issue of Playboy featuring Marilyn Monroe on the cover. With the sexual revolution of the 1960s and the 1970s, porn became much more popular and much more graphic, with Hustler and Penthouse pushing the envelope and other companies trying to outdo each other to see who could become the most extreme and the most depraved. Pornography is now mainstream culturally. You have entertainers making and distributing their own pornography movies, and those who have actually worked in the porn industry are now crossing over into mainstream TV, reality shows, and movies. And I quickly just want to quickly do some stats real fast, just so you can kind of see how popular, the porn industry is. In 2006, global revenue for pornography industry was actually $97.6 billion. Porn revenue is larger than the combined revenue of technology companies such as Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink combined. The United States is responsible for $13.3 billion of the industry's revenue. Internet pornography sales is $4.9 billion. There are 420 million porn web pages, of which 89% are U.S.-based. 40 million U.S. adults visit porn websites regularly. The largest consumers of internet porn are adults aged 35 to 44. United States sales and rental of adult videos brought in $3.62 billion in 2006. United States pornography sales via cell phones totaled $26 million in 2007. Guys, did you know that 5 out of 10 men in church have an addiction to pornography? 20% of men admit to accessing porn at work. 72% of visitors to porn sites are men. 1 out of 6 women struggle with pornography. 13% of women admit to accessing porn at work. 28% of visitors to porn sites are women. Now check this out. The average age of first pornography exposure with boys is age 10 to 13. The average age of first pornography exposure for girls is age 11 to 14. The average age of first internet porn exposure is 11 years old. 90% of 8 to 16-year-olds have viewed porn online. 80% of 15 to 17-year-olds have been victims of multiple hardcore porn exposure. 1 in 7 youths have received sexual solicitation online. And child pornography is a $3 billion industry. 20,000 images of child pornography are posted on the internet each week, and there are 100,000 websites which offer illegal child pornography. Alicia, what do you think about those stats?
Wow, when you listen to those statistics as you were reading them, it's just mind-boggling how this industry has just completely grown by leaps and bounds over the past 5 or 6 decades. When you started back with Marilyn Monroe and looking at, at that point now, what people would look at her being on that cover probably would look at that as, oh, no big deal, because of how far we've come since that point, how far, unfortunately, we've taken a step in the opposite direction. And so even listening to that, it's so unfortunate that so many people are fueling and feeding this industry that is really in so many ways deceptive and destructive, and you don't even recognize it. And even to the point where, as you were also stating in your statistics, where we have child pornography now, and that's so really unfortunate. So those statistics are unfortunate to hear.
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy. Wow. The U.S. Supreme Court cannot even define pornography. They have struggled with this for like a long time. And for the purpose of our discussion tonight, we're going to be talking about movies that are explicit, internet websites that are explicit. In addition to hardcore forms, we're also going to be talking about softcore forms such as men's magazines, women's novels, and pretty much we're going to, kind of talk about the effects of the hidden. A lot of times porn creates a glamorized, pleasure-seeking type of thrill-seeking ride, and it does not, most of the times it doesn't present the truth as to the hidden dangers and the devastating effects that it can have on people's lives. So I really want to focus on that tonight and kind of go into that and really kind of break this topic down. So, Alicia, let me ask you a quick question. As far as the statistic I just read about to you about women watching pornography, did that surprise you? I mean, what do you think about that?
Yes, it does. You know, because sometimes we don't necessarily know how much of a stronghold this can be for women as well. And oftentimes when we think of the pornography industry, we think of it being an issue that men deal with. You don't necessarily associate it with women. You only think of it in related to women in the context of them being involved in maybe some of the films or them being in the magazines that the men are looking at, but you don't necessarily think of it on the flip side of women being the ones being addicted to pornographic material. So I just say it's surprising and alarming that there is such a high number of women who also struggle with this issue, not just men.
Now, let me ask you, would you say that, do you think, I mean, being a woman, like, let me say it this way. The reasons why women are addicted to pornography, is it the same reasons why men are addicted? For example, men, of course, are going to be addicted because we're visually stimulated, of course, therefore it's going to be a way for us to achieve that sexual high without actually going through the route of a relationship, so to speak. So would it be fair to say that's the same reason why women watch pornography? I just want to distinguish what the reasons are.
You know, and that's a really good question. What are the reasons that women are addicted to pornography? And I guess from any firsthand experience that I've had, as far as only one person I know, as a female has ever had a pornography issue. And so just knowing her situation, I guess thinking about some of her reasons would be the only reasons that I would be able to speak to as far as why women have struggled in this area. And as far as she was concerned, it was just something that she was introduced to by a boyfriend in college. And then from there, when she wanted to, start walking, I guess, right with God and not having sex outside of marriage, whenever she found herself having a desire to be sexually intimate with a man instead of, and not being able to do that for whatever reason, whether it's not having a boyfriend or what have you, that was her reason why she looked at it. It was just kind of to fulfill a need in that moment. And then, also kind of just in remembering some of what she shared with me, it was also related to probably some other emotions that she was going through at the time. So like if it were feeling a sense of loneliness or stressed or depressed, that was kind of an outlet where she filled that sort of void. And so that was her reasoning. Now, there may be other reasons why other women also view pornography, but that's the only firsthand knowledge that I have related to women and pornography.
Mm. Well, Alicia, you know what? I'm so glad that you're keeping it real tonight. A lot of women are like, I don't watch pornography. What are you talking about? Right. Okay. I'm just glad that you're keeping it real. You know, I really do. And guys, I hope you're listening. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the unmasking the hidden dangers of pornography and sexually explicit material. The number to call in, guys, is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Well, Alicia, here's the thing. A lot of people listening, may not be Christians. They just may be just, people out there who don't have any belief systems, but they're going to ask, what's wrong with porn? Well, let me tell you. A pornographic thought life is not the health. It's unhealthy because number one, God sees what you see, and He also sees what you think. So many people have now become so desensitized, and it's now become so normal. So when you watch porn, you're actually buying into and supporting a culture of slavery, rape, abuse, and sometimes even murder. Alicia, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think even as you're mentioning that, some people don't think of it to that degree, because when you're thinking of pornography, and we've talked about it on this show, pornography is rooted in lust. And so lust, as you've mentioned before, takes where love gives. And so if you are already rooted in a lustful mindset where you're taking, you're probably not conscious of the fact of how your actions may be impacting somebody else, as far as even, you know, pornography being connected to slavery. So I don't know that people even get beyond their own self-gratification of being fulfilled in their desires, that they don't even take into account that they are helping to continue a system that degrades women and enslaves people. So I would just say that people probably have a very narrow mindset when it comes to that.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is that the Bible has said that lust such as pornography is very sinful. It's unholy and it's unhelpful. And now modern medicine and science is starting to catch up with the truth of the Bible, because biopsychologists have studied the effects of pornography on the brain and on the human body, and are finding now that pornography alters the brain. It changes you as a person. And I want to talk about one topic, Alicia, is being wired for intimacy. I believe that the prolonged exposure to these images creates neural pathways that set the course for future events with each exposure. When you venture down the path of pornography, you might receive pleasure over time, but that pleasure you receive over time turns into an addiction. And what happens is that, just like any addict out there, whether it be a drug addict or alcoholic, you have a hard time living and functioning in the real world. You have a hard time dealing with real people. Things become obsessive and out of control. It's because you've conditioned your body and reconditioned your mind in a deadly, destructive, and dark way. What do you think about that?
That's deep. And, you know, it is interesting when you say you've reconditioned your mind, because I think anytime you begin with something, the Word of God definitely tells us that we have an inner conviction. So when we're doing things that are outside of or contrary to the will of God, we are definitely going to feel a sense of uneasiness. It's our conscience convicting us that this isn't right. And so initially people may start out with that idea that, ooh, this isn't right. But over a period of time doing the same thing day in and day out, they begin to dull their ability to even recognize that this is wrong. And so I definitely think, in looking at the whole pornographic industry, that people having an addiction, and when you look at the fact that it is a multi-billion dollar industry, there's something that's continuing to fuel it, you know, year after year. And so it just shows you how deeply embedded this addiction is. And I would just say that over a period of time, people are becoming more and more rooted in it and not even seeing the deadly effect of it.
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing, Alicia. The whole industry is based, it thrives, and its whole agenda is to make you become an addict. That's how they make their money. The more you click on those sites, the more you use your credit card and purchase minutes, or the more you order those DVDs and movies, or those magazines, the more they get richer and richer. They want you to become an addict. They want you to be hooked. That's how they make their money. Unbelievable, man.
No, it definitely is. And actually, when you were just mentioning that, it reminded me of something, and you may have remembered this being mentioned when it was stated in our singles class, where one of the pastors was saying how a young lady who was involved in like a strip club or pornography industry, that one of the requirements was that you were never to have sex with the customers. And part of that came because if you ever fulfilled that desire, the fantasy was over, and now they're no longer going to keep buying into it. And in the same way, it shows you how it really is intended to create a fantasy world where people keep buying into it over and over and over again, and it's never going to kind of, you know, their desire through this is not going to ever be fulfilled in a healthy way.
Absolutely, definitely. And, you know, God created sex and the passions and pleasures associated with it for marriage, because whatever path we go down to derive pleasure, we become bonded to it. So it's just interesting how, like, you know, if you travel down the path of pornography and illicit sexual material, you're gonna imprint on that pathway, and that's gonna be your chosen preferred pathway to achieve that feeling or that emotion. Now, pornography literally conditions your body and hardwires your brain to prefer images over real people, such as your spouse, which is the whole purpose of sex in the Bible in the context of marriage. So that's very interesting. Alicia, I want to talk about the list of dangers of why pornography and sexually explicit material, why it's dangerous, and then we can talk about the social aspects. But I want to really go into the spiritual ramifications of pornography, and also the relationship ramifications, because God ordained marriage between a man and a woman, and we're seeing now that how pornography has a lot of husbands are addicted to it, and not only that, a lot of couples are using pornography to supplement their sexual relationship due to some perceived deficit. So I want to talk about that. I kind of made a list of dangers, and one of the dangers I had written down was that porn makes someone other than your spouse your standard of beauty. When God gave Adam a wife, he didn't give Eve a type. He just gave them a spouse. That was it. So our standard of beauty is supposed to be our spouse, but porn exists to present a menu of options, none of which are your spouse. Alicia, what do you think about that?
That's deep and that's real. It really is. And that's so true, because when you think about your wife being the standard of beauty, if for some reason you're looking beyond the covenant that you have with your wife, your marriage, to meet that desire, and now you're looking at magazines or movies that are creating a fantasy and giving you a different standard of beauty, then you're going to begin to desire that and not desire what you already have. And no matter how hard your wife may try, she may not be able to fulfill those same ungodly desires that you're seeing played out on a movie or seeing played out in a magazine. And so it definitely is setting you up for just going down a destructive pathway, because the Word of God even warns us that, you know, not to even look at another woman and with a lustful intent, because you've already committed adultery in your heart by doing so. And
right.
So you just have to just absolutely be conscious of and mindful of the fact that you don't want to create outside of your marriage any sort of idea that really is not going to be fulfilled, because then what you do in your bedroom with your wife is not going to measure up possibly to what you've been watching in your movies and what you've been watching in, you know, in magazines. So you absolutely have to go back to what you were mentioning, how God gave Adam Eve as his standard of beauty. And when you have so many different options available to you, you're going to be like, well, why should I stay with what I have when I could go here, there, look here, look there? And slowly over time, you'll begin to become disinterested in what you have, because it's not going to measure up.
Absolutely. That's a very good, excellent point, Alicia. That really was a good point. You know, the very nature of pornography commits violence against the dignity of the human person by taking an essential aspect of that person's human sexuality and making it a commodity to be bartered and sold, to be used and discarded by unknown others. It's crazy. I mean, you know, I have watched pornography in my younger years. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and my older brothers, I found their stash when I was reading their bedroom when we were at work, and that's how I found it. And the things that I saw, like women, just their bodies just being, I mean, I got to say that, I don't think a woman's body was meant to be treated in such a, like, a, in some ways, brutal, man. I mean, it was really bad, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, the things that they would allow themselves to go through, I'm like, what, for what? Why? You know what I mean? So for you to want to be able to do that to your wife, yeah, that's not the reason why God gave you a wife, so you could hurt her, so you could embarrass her or make her feel, I mean, that's not the purpose of marriage. And that's so important for men to really, you know, marriage has to be honorable, man. You know what I'm saying? It can't be selfish because your wife is going to sense that, you know. And so that's something very important to think about. The next point I want to mention is that porn is coveting. The Bible says we're not supposed to look at somebody else and wonder what it would be like to have sex with them. You have no right to do that. And if you're not married to them, especially not. But porn exists to get you to covet, to desire someone that you do not have. So that's why when you there's different types of porn. There's black porn, there's Latino porn, there's Asian porn. These are all, you know, types of flavors of porn that really are trying to cater to different people to make them desire and covet other people that don't belong to them. What do you think about that, Alicia?
Yeah, it definitely does. And as you were even talking, one of the things that I was thinking back to, and I'm sure a lot of people probably, you know, remember when years ago Kirk Franklin came out and he acknowledged that he had an addiction to pornography. And I remember when I was watching the interview how his wife felt so uncomfortable because every time he would begin to desire more and more from her based upon what he was seeing in some, you know, video that, you know, that was playing out. And as you said, it's, a lot of it is unnatural. And so you are definitely coveting and you're desiring in a wrong manner something that really isn't yours. If you have a wife, that woman that you're looking at is someone's daughter, somebody's sister, possibly even somebody's wife. And so when you think about it in that context, the fact that you are desiring someone in such a wrong manner, and this is just like you have a daughter, this is somebody else's daughter. And most importantly, possibly God's daughter, you know, if she belongs to God, you know. And so it's just so important for people to realize the far-reaching effects of what they're doing, that who you're lusting after, she belongs to somebody, and she should be valued and treasured.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow. The third point I want to make is that in porn there is payment. There's payment made when you click onto those websites and buy those DVDs. You're contributing to an industry of slavery and death by visiting websites that offer free porn. Consumers of porn, you're actually participating in an industry of abuse. And I want to talk about, Alicia, sexual trafficking. There's big money in that. And that's, and I'd always hear this on the news and different documentaries and stuff like that. And I'd wonder who funds that? I mean, how does that happen? And a lot of times, from what I've been, my research suggests that a lot of these women that you see in these pornography movies, they're sex slaves. And this is all about money, and this is crazy. I mean, in this modern day that we're living in, women are actually abducted and used as sexual slaves. Can you believe that? It's in India, it's in Israel, it's in Europe, it's actually even in the United States. I heard of one story where a lot of these cartels would kidnap or promise these girls from Mexico, you know, an opportunity to come and work in the United States, and you know, unbeknownst to them, they would take them to houses and keep them detained there, and where they would force them to have sex with different men for money. That's just that breaks God's heart, man. So you know, that to me is that industry. When you do that, when you go on these sites and you actually think about these defenseless women that we should be protecting, women that we should be honoring. Think about what you're doing and how your actions are affecting another human being. that could be, like Alicia said, could be your sister or could be someone's sister, someone's mother. You know, Alicia, I really think that to really look at a woman and lust after her in a porno flick, you really have to kind of, and I'm going to say this, and hopefully it comes across in the right way, but you have to kind of commit murder. When I say murder, because you have to forget that that person is actually a human being made in God's image. So now what you've done is you've kind of reduced them down to something they're not in order to enjoy them. You see what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
Absolutely, it does. At the very least, you're definitely having to disregard the fact that you just said that's a person who's made in the image of God. And we are abusing people who are doing that. You are abusing them in the extent that you are looking at them in a way that was never intended to be looked at. And whenever you use something for anything other than its intended purpose, that's abuse. And so when you begin to take hold of that, it definitely, hopefully, it should reshape the way that you think about it. And even as you were just mentioning about the sex trade and all of how all this goes on, it made me think back to the scripture that talks about in the Word of God that says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so because people have such an overzealous desire to have money, they will look to evil ways to begin to make it, even if it means selling their child, if it means purchasing a five-year-old child in a sex trade from a foreign country. And you think about these things and they're just like mind-boggling that they're literally taking place, but they're taking place, as you mentioned, right here even in the United States. So it's not something that we have to travel to some third world country to see happening, but I'm sure if we investigate it, we could see situations like that right here in our own country. So it definitely is something that needs to be addressed.
Wow, that's good. You know, the next point I want to make is that porn is actually idolatry. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, do not be idolaters as some of them were. There is one God, and you're supposed to worship that God alone. Worship of anyone or anything other than God is idolatry. Paul in Romans 1:18 highlights this, and it's all about idolatry pertaining to sexuality. They have exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the creator of God, who is forever praised. Amen. How do they do this? By sexual sin. For some of you, it's not just about altering your behavior. You need to alter the God you worship. You know, I believe in the Bible, Paul actually dealt with a certain church where they were actually worshiping Diana and they were worshiping Baal, and a lot of sexual acts, pornography, orgies, all that stuff was going on. So anytime you do this spiritually, you're actually worshiping a false god. Can you believe that, Alicia?
And you know what? So many people, when they think about idolatry, they think about literally bowing down to some graven image. They don't think about idolatry in the context of it. It is truly anything that you put before God. It doesn't matter what it is. And so I see how this definitely has become very much of an idol, because it's so, like, you're so drawn to it, the people who are engaged in pornography, that they're willing to sacrifice whatever their belief is or whatever in order to watch a movie, or to they're willing to break their marriage covenant and in order to view a magazine. And so it definitely shows you how deeply rooted this situation is. And the Word of God makes clear that if you love me, you will keep my commands. So if you are yielding to pornography in this area, it really is showing you where your love is. It's really attached to the things of this world and attached to, you know, some movie or some video or some magazine. So it definitely is an idolatrous industry.
Definitely. And you know what? I was talking to one of my buddies, and he was telling me that you know, strip clubs are nothing but pagan temples, man.
Wow.
I was I was like, wow.
I had never thought of it in that way, but I would venture to agree that that is modern-day pagan temples.
Yeah, because what he was saying, back in the biblical times, they were worshiping Diana and worshiping other female deities. In those temples, in those churches, what they would do is they would have these women dancing naked and parading themselves, just like they do in strip clubs of today. And they would have sex. They would end up having sex and orgies. And this is what the Apostle Paul had to deal with, and he had to rebuke a lot of those churches that were doing that. So, you know, it's the same. People don't look at it like that, but because Satan, he always markets things in a very attractive and alluring way, like, you know. So, but really and truly, strip clubs, they're not worshiping God. They're worshiping the flesh. Do as thy wilt. Aleister Crowley, Satanism. Satan, that's all he's about. Do as thy wilt. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Man, modern-day pagan temples. Can you believe that, Alicia?
That's a good way of putting it. I guess that definitely is giving someone the truth, and, you know, that many people probably never looked at it as in such a light. They think, oh, what's wrong with it? I'm not sleeping with her. I'm not doing this. But it is just what you called it. It's a modern-day pagan temple where people are worshiping the flesh and not worshiping the living God.
Wow, exactly, the flesh. Worshiping created things. How does that work? I mean, how are you going to – here's the creator who created the thing that you work, and you're bound down to worship something that he created? How rude is that?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I was – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just agreeing. You said how rude is that. How rude, dishonoring it definitely is.
Man, they better be thankful that I'm not God. I'm like, you dirty. I say, let's wipe this place clean and start over again. Man, you know, I was listening to one preacher, and he wasn't a preacher. He was like he's a YouTube kind of like evangelist type dude, and he was saying that he had a vision where God had showed him that this was like people that had died, and they were going. Some were going to heaven. Some were actually being led away by angels to the pits of hell, and a lot of them being led there were strippers, pornography addicts, and those that were in the sexual industry. Man, it was the way he was describing it. It was very, very deep and very vivid and really gut wrenching. To be honest with you, man, they're. One thing that people need to be aware of, there is a spiritual component that you are not realizing every time you expose yourself to these kind of movies. There are two spirits, demonic spirits, called incubus and succubus, and these are spirits that have been assigned in the area of sexuality, illicit sexuality, to incarcerate the sexual destiny of the individual. And Alicia, I'm not sure if you've heard about these spirits before, but I think it's the incubus that usually attacks women. A lot of women claim that when they sleep, they feel like someone's had sex with them and there's no one there. And that's a spirit called incubus. And for the men, it's called succubus. And they've actually did studies on this. Christian researchers have done studies on this, that women who have been bothered by a spirit of incubus, they find it hard to get into relationships because that spirit is a very jealous spirit. So what happens is that it prevents them from even getting married, or it finds a way to ruin the marriage or the relationship. And the same thing for men. So there is a very powerful spiritual component, and the reason why and there's a reason why Satan is spending or investing so much energy to cause people to become so addicted and caught up with pornography. What do you think about my comment?
Yeah, it definitely does. And what I think about, even as you were mentioning that those two spirits, is that sometimes people don't even realize how deeply rooted some of the decisions are that they're making. They probably think, oh, I'm just, you know, looking at a movie. Oh, I'm just, you know, checking out a magazine. But what people don't understand is it's through their decisions that they open up the door and give access to the enemy in their life. And so if you don't want to open up the door and give access to the enemy, to bring in destruction, then you have to really be conscious of the decisions that you're making. And I remember even, I don't know how long ago it was, a few years ago, listening to a story of a woman, and she was dealing with a situation pertaining to, like, her younger daughter and couldn't understand why she was acting out and some of the different things that were going on with her. And so she sought out some sort of spiritual counseling from pastor, what have you. And long story short, through that process, realized that the enemy had an open door to begin to bring havoc in their home because the father was examining pornography and didn't even realize that that open door that the enemy now had to come into their home and attack their daughter was coming directly through her husband's decision to bring pornographic material into their home. And so what we have to recognize is that to each decision we make, there is a consequence. And sometimes we may not immediately recognize what those consequences are, but it is so important to recognize that when God tells us to flee fornication and to not do something, it really is for our own good. And that in the long run, we have to really heed that, because if not, we are opening up the door for the enemy to do what he was, what he does, kill, steal, and destroy.
And you know what? You took the words right out of my mouth. I was about to say that. There's a reason why Satan is doing these people. He wants you to be addicted to the porn. He wants you to destroy your marriage because, again, his assignment is to kill, steal, and destroy. Anything that brings glory to God, healthy relationships, love, depicted in the correct, godly way, he's against that. So, I mean, if you want to deal with those circumstances, be my guest. But if I were you, don't do it.
Don't do it.
You know, porn breaks the heart of God. The Bible says God is a father who made us in his image and likeness. And the way women are treated in the industry hurts God. He created us with dignity, value, and worth and purpose. And these movies treat women like animals shamefully, man. I mean, you know, I don't want to really get into what, you know, when I, in my days of being addicted to pornography as a teenager, what I saw, but the things like these, like gangbang movies and all these other stuff. I mean, I gotta say it out there because it's what's out there. You know, treating women like animals, man, it totally breaks the heart of God, and even to the point where, you know, why I've even heard of these kind of movies where they're actually having sexual intercourse with animals, other species of, I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, Alicia, can you imagine how God is, he weeps when he sees that stuff? Oh my gosh, man.
I can only imagine, because just as I was mentioning earlier, when we're sitting and somebody may be viewing pornography and that's somebody's daughter, sister, mother, cousin, somebody. In the same way, when people do that, we have to remember that we are God's creation and that we are his children. And so in the same way, I could only imagine how a father's heart would break when he sees his daughter being degraded, when he sees his son walking down a self-destructive path because he's opening up doors to inappropriate sexual behavior. So just not being a parent myself, but just only imagining how I would feel if I did have children, and seeing them do that same thing helps me to better understand how much the heart of God must break every time he sees us do things that are so contrary to what he intended us to be doing. And sometimes we don't think, it talks about in the Word that when we sin, we're sinning against God. And so it's
right.
His perfect law that was created. And so when we do that, we're doing it against him. And many people may be like, oh, no, I'm not doing this. This isn't hurting anybody. How is this hurting anyone? Well, ultimately, any sin is against God. And so absolutely it has to break his heart to see us do things, knowing also that such a high price was paid to set us free. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, that's good, Alicia. That is really good. You know, I want to ask you, Alicia, like, what would you say to couples who say, you know what, we use pornography to spice up our marriage and our sex life, and we don't see anything wrong with that? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that you're fooling yourself, and you've fallen into a very deceptive way of thinking, because I know some people may say, oh, well, the marriage bed is undefiled. Anything I do in my marriage room is okay with God. Well, you have to recognize that when God also tells us that, you know, don't have sex with an animal, if you bring an animal into your room, you've defiled that bedroom, because that all is outside the will of God. So it's not just saying you can do anything that you want. You have to do it within the confines of what the Word of God tells you. And so it absolutely has a detrimental effect, because what you may not realize is it's almost like you've brought in a third party into your bedroom. So if you, how would you feel if it were not just you and your wife lying in the bed, but it's now you, your wife, and another man there? Well, pornography is similar in the extent that you've invited another individual, and now if your wife is looking at that person and desiring that person, and instead of focusing her attention on you in that intimate act, she's now thinking of the images that you guys have just viewed when you've watched this movie. And so it isn't to say that it doesn't hurt anyone or doesn't have any impact. You're just being short-sighted, and you haven't seen the impact, because I can assure you that if you were to keep it up for any period of time, you're going to begin to see that whether you're becoming less interested in your spouse or whether it's becoming more distracted when you're trying to be intimate, you're going to begin to see the effect of it.
Wow. Well, folks, you heard it. Alicia just said it. You know, pornography definitely is definitely not good for marriage. It definitely violates the oneness between a husband and wife, like you said, Alicia, because it involves others, and it really, it's taking something God created beautiful and causing it to become dark and despicable. You know, it's just not good for marriage. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that a lot of people they really don't have any faith, so they feel that God can't. God who created sex, God who created men and women, he can't show them how to have a wonderful sex life in marriage. You know what I mean? So they feel that they have to turn to these worldly, wicked things to sustain them. I mean, that's oxymoronic, man.
Absolutely.
You know, next point I wanted to make, Alicia, is that porn hurts the viewers, you know, most, you know, as well. I mean, if you get addicted to it, you're going to keep giving your money to someone else. It's all about the money, like we said before. The entire industry exists to make you an addict and to take as much money away from you as much as possible, to get you to buy things, to click on websites, you know. So you guys got to think about, you know, a lot of the money that you're wasting, that you could be giving to charities, that you could be giving to your churches and other ministries, and helping them and furthering the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. One of the points I wanted to make, Alicia, is that I feel for some of these women and who do these porno movies, is that their bodies are just pushed to the limits. I mean, I know that they make it seem glamorous, you know, the way they act, the way they parade themselves, and, you know, but it can't, to violate your body in such a way, I mean, there has to be some sort of depression that comes with that, suicidal tendencies, drug abuse, alcoholism, weed smoking, you know what I mean? There has to be something that kind of numbs the pain, because you could probably numb yourself to a degree, but after a while, I mean, you're violating your spirit, you're violating your body, your soul. I mean, that has to take a toll on you. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I would think it has to take a toll on you. You know, it's like with anything, when you use it for the purpose other than what it's created for, it's going to have disastrous effects. And if a drug addict could probably attest to it, in the extent that somebody who's addicted to drugs, after a period of time of snorting cocaine or doing different things like that, you absolutely realize that, whoa, you know, it has an impact. And in the same way, when you use your body in a way other than how God intended it to be used, you're going to begin to see the consequence of that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I really believe, Alicia, that there's a direct correlation between pornography and rape. I mean, I would say that we're in a somewhat of a rape culture where I think one in four women are sexually assaulted at least once in their lifetime. And now children are actually now raping children. Can you believe that?
You said children are led to children?
No, children are now raping children.
Oh,
yeah.
Children are raping children. You just see the trickle-down impact, because now you go from what you set as a standard. Now younger and younger people are being introduced to this whole industry. So where children have become abused, unfortunately, if the cycle isn't broken, then they will at some point become the abuser, you know, because that's what they've been conditioned to think is the normal way of doing things.
Absolutely. You know, porn hurts children. 12 to 13-year-old boys are the biggest watchers of porn. It distorts their views. It distorts their perceptions of life and healthy relationships. And it takes them deep down the porn path. It also rewires their brains, and it's confusing information for them to even process. Can you imagine, Alicia, a 10 or 11-year-old boy or girl, for that matter, trying to process what they see in pornography, all the craziness that goes on in those movies? I mean, that has to be, I mean, very confusing. So now what's happening is that when they watch these movies, they're acting out what they've watched on other children. You know, so it's crazy. You know, I wanted to tell you this real quick, that I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he was saying that he used to in Seattle, he used to work on these docks, and when he was younger, he was talking to this guy, and at the time he wasn't saved, and you know, when you work in the docks, it's a bunch of you know, men's men, and, you know, they're just rough and rugged, you know what I mean? And he was just saying that, you know, one of the guys was saying that, you know, I can't wait to get home, because why? He goes, well, my daughter's having a slumber party, and I get a kick out of just, you know, drinking a beer and watching these girls parade around in their pajamas. I'm like, wow. Can you,
mm-hmm.
Number one, those of you who have kids, watch who your kids spend the nights, you know, watch where they stay the night at. If I was a parent, my kid ain't staying nowhere. You know what I mean? Can you believe that? This man, he has a daughter, and he's getting his rocks off by watching her. I mean, that's perverted, man. And that's what it's coming down to. And you know what? You know what? Why that's crazy? Because, Alicia, child pornography is also a billion-dollar industry. Defenseless, innocent children being coerced, being forced to abuse their bodies in a way that God never intended. I mean, that definitely breaks the heart of God, and it makes me cry to even, you know what I'm saying, to even think about what these poor kids have. I mean, for real? Wow.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's bad.
Oh, man. They have, you know, a type of porn where they call belly legal, where they have, they're adults, but they've allowed them to dress, have the appearance of being like they're, you know, young girls. They dress them in pigtails, school uniforms. They make them speak in squeaky voices and do all those things like a girl would do. Now, here's the thing, Alicia. If you're a man who's addicted to that kind of stuff, and if you're a father, then there's a big issue right now. But if you're going to be soon to be a father, or one day want to have a daughter, and you're addicted to that kind of porn, do you honestly think that you're going to be able to, when she becomes an adolescent, she becomes a teenager, and she starts developing into a woman, how is that really going to affect you, your interaction with your daughter? Would you think you would start thinking about your daughter sexually? Do you think that she would be able to relate to her or hug her or have that father and daughter time without any perverse thoughts entering your mind? I think not. I think it will greatly hinder that relationship. I think it will put unnatural thoughts in your mind towards your daughter. It sounds sick, but it's the truth. Alicia, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I agree with your comment. I do believe that you'll begin to look at, you know, whether it's your daughter in an unnatural way. Anytime that you're opening yourself up and exposing yourself up to different things such as pornography, I do believe it begins to give you a warped way of looking at life. You don't look at life in the same natural context that we should be looking at it. You don't look at things through a pure filter. And so as a result, over a period of time, what your set of normal is going to become different. And even in that, whether it's starting to look at your daughter in an unhealthy way or looking at, you know, other women in an unhealthy way, I think that's just one of those consequences, unfortunately, that comes from this industry.
Absolutely, definitely. Alicia, I want to ask you, what are some of the things that you believe that men and women can do to kind of protect themselves or shield themselves from, being watchers of pornography, or even some of those who have exposed themselves and are addicts? Like, what do you think would be one of the, what would you recommend to those people to break free from that?
I think, one, you have to recognize that there is a danger in viewing it. And if you see that there is a danger in viewing it, I think you'll be, one, more conscious of not doing it. So I think hopefully through listening to tonight's show, people will begin to hear and realize that there is a danger in viewing pornography. So that would definitely be one step right there. But then the other thing is, too, is I think about, you know, I think it was David who talked about how he put a set a watch over his eyes. And I would just suggest that people, you know, be very careful what they allow to enter their eye gates. And even if you know where your addiction level is or what type of stronghold you've had in this area, you may even have to be even more mindful of any movie that you're watching. It may not be classified as a pornographic movie, but if it's a movie that even has sexual content in it, if you're watching that and those sort of scenes come up, you have to make a decision to not view that sort of thing, because then it could become an open door for wanting to view even greater sort of pornographic material. So that would be another thing that I would definitely say. And I would just encourage people to really be prayerful, because honestly, it's going to require some discipline. It's going to require walking in self-control. It's going to require telling your flesh no when it's saying, I want this. And you have to begin to look for other healthy ways to begin to fill that inner desire. I remember a while ago when I was praying about something, and God, somebody I knew was struggling with, a male was struggling with a pornographic addiction, and mm-hmm. one of the things I felt like God was showing me about that individual is that they were looking for love in all the wrong places.
Wow.
And so even with that, now looking at people who may have an issue in that area, I would say that you need to find a healthy way to begin to fill that desire that you have for love, and recognizing that pornography is not the way to do it. And so it may be, you know, getting in healthy relationships, just spending time in the presence of God. Those are the sort of things. It's going to be a process, but it's going to be something that you can definitely overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit, but you have to be committed to that process.
Wow, that's really good. One of the things I wanted to add, Alicia, to what you just said was that I think that the deeper issue is it's pornography addiction, that activity that it's rooted in idolatry. So the goal is not just to stop looking at porn, but the goal is to worship Jesus. By doing this, you will turn away from porn. What do you think of it in the comment?
I'm sorry, could you repeat what you just said? I missed part of the last.
Okay. I was just piggybacking on what you were just saying, but I was saying that the issue is deeper. It's deeper. It's actually rooted in idolatry, which we talked about earlier on. And so the goal is not just to stop looking at porn, but the goal is to worship Jesus. By doing this, you will turn away from porn.
Yeah, you're saying that basically by worshiping Jesus, your heart turns away from the thing that you were at one point worshiping?
As an idol, yes, because porn is an idol. It's a form
yes,
of idol
it
worship.
Is.
You know.
It is, and ultimately when we begin to worship Jesus, he begins to fill the void that now porn used to fill. So anytime we take our attention and turn it away from the things of this world and focus it on the things of God and allow him to begin to fill those deep inner places, yes, we do begin to turn away from the very thing that we worshipped at one point. And really by keeping your attention focused on God and even remaining in his presence will be part of what helps you overcome that desire to even go back to that lifestyle. Because what people have to realize with any addiction, it's a matter of over a period of time, that addiction losing its stronghold on you, because now it's not that people are in control, but pornography is controlling them. And so you have to get to the place where you are telling your flesh no. And the more and more you turn to Jesus, the more you're going to begin to turn away from that lifestyle that is opposite and contrary to who he is.
Absolutely. At one point, I wanted to add was that, you know, kill your sin before it kills you. Jesus died for our sins. So, that's
absolutely.
My point on that. Absolutely. Hey, did you, were you ever watching the news where you saw those girls in Ohio? They got kidnapped, but it was by that Puerto Rican dude. He had
yeah.
locked up in a house for like 10 years. I mean, I would suggest that he was definitely into pornography. I mean for real, like, you're gonna kidnap these. I mean, can you believe that?
Yeah, I think most people are kind of still in disbelief. But yeah, it's amazing that something like that would be going on. And the sad thing is I was looking at one of the stories. The girl, I think it was Amanda Berry. They were saying she now has a 6-year-old daughter and. The father is one of the captors. So it just is so sad when you sit and look at that sort of situation that somebody has sexually abused and taken advantage of another individual to the point that they would hold them in captivity for over 10 years. And that's just, you know, just unsettling.
Man, all because of sex? Is that deep? I mean, really?
That's
you know, you've now ruined a girl. You've robbed this girl of 10 years of her life. Wow.
Yeah.
Don't give me
no
gun. That's all I can
What's
say.
What's that?
I said, don't give me no gun. That's all I can say. Man.
Well, it definitely is sad, and I'm sure those families are heartbroken that somebody would mistreat their daughter or their sister like that. And the way so many people look at that situation and are appalled, like, oh gosh, how could you do that? It's similar when you think about it in the context of even what pornography does, because it also abuses women, but just in a different way by looking at their bodies in a perverted manner that God didn't intend for you to do.
No, definitely. I definitely agree with your statement saying, and it just seems as though like a lot of the agenda of people that make pornography is to it progressively gets worse and worse and worse, and you can see the different titles that they have and different categories of porn that's out there, where you know. Where they, the level of degradation is just, it's I would call it subhuman. it's that disgusting, you know. I mean, and I, you know, I'm like, who I can just imagine, in, you know, in the minds of these porno, you know, participants, like, what how much money, are you getting paid, a couple of thousand dollars a movie or something like that? Is it worth you putting your body through that kind of destruction? I mean, to be demoralized and degraded in such a manner? It's crazy. I don't get that.
Yeah. And you know what it is? And the sad thing is when you research more about the pornography industry, you find that sexually transmitted diseases run very high in that industry as well. And so it is such an unfortunate thing that people have subjected themselves to it. And I believe that it's unfortunate that so many women, because I think about one of the ministries that we have through our church called Beauty for Ashes, and it goes out and ministers to women who are, within the strip clubs and different things like that. And I believe one of the things that happens is that people, whether it's women or what have you, start to think that there is no way of escape, that they don't know another way to financially support themselves outside of doing this. And also it reminds me of, I do a lot of different projects within the entertainment industry, and I know a lot of girls, when they come out here to L.A., if you're financially struggling, and you'll find so many different opportunities to compromise, and one of which is they're constantly seeking out webcam models, constantly seeking out, women to be in these sort of movies, and sometimes women fall prey to that because they end up thinking, how else can I survive if I don't begin to make money? And you would be totally blown away by the dollar amount that people are making. Not that any amount is high enough for you to degrade yourself, but I think women sometimes, unfortunately, have this wrong idea that this is my way out. And it really isn't, because it entraps them in a whole different world that they weren't even aware of before they started all of this.
But, and you made a good point, Alicia, but to my thinking, is like, this is the United States. We don't live in a third world country. You can work at McDonald's, you can work in Burger King, you can work at Seder Brothers, you can work at Ralph's. I mean, there's many other things to do then, because once you put your image out there, you can't get it back. You know what I'm saying? Once your body's paraded and once you're out there doing what you're doing, that is it. The whole world can see. I mean, imagine you getting married and having kids, and you have to explain to them, wow, there's mama getting it in.
And you're right. You're right. And I say that to say that when you think about working at Stater Brothers, most of the jobs probably pay minimum wage, $8-something an hour, where you look at that compared to working in an industry that will – and I've seen the advertisements for it, be it on Craigslist, wherever, and even some more reputable, like there are other casting sites, and they don't call it pornography, but they'll say, oh, we need you to be topless, we need you to do this. And the amount of money that you make for a project like that versus working at a Stater Brothers, people are like, I'll never get ahead working at Stater Brothers. But now they begin to see if the dollar amount is right, what they're willing to sell their soul for. And so I definitely believe it's great that we live in America where we do have other opportunities to make money. Unfortunately, some women don't see it that way. They see it as, this is quick money and it's good money, and where I can make what I can make in a week working at Stater Brothers, I can make in 1 hour doing this video. And they don't think about, wait a minute, this is going to eventually catch up to me. It's going to eventually, and I think about the one girl who was an actress. You probably remember her. She was on that TV show Family Matters, and she came out here. She was an actress, and she was, involved in doing regular acting, and I believe she fell on hard times and eventually ended up doing other things along this level, and how difficult it is to get back into the industry of just your craft, because now you have this stigma attached to you because you did a pornographic movie.
Exactly. And, you know, one celebrity's daughter that comes to mind is Lawrence Fishburne's daughter. I don't know if you heard about her, but she was actually was using her dad's name to put out there to, I guess she was dating this guy, and he had, you know, that's another reason why, another topic anyway, but she was dating this guy who was, you know, a no good dude, of course, and he had manipulated her mind to sell herself on the corner. But not only that, he had coerced her to making a pornographic movie. And so she did that, and now that image, it's out there, you know. And I'm sure that it hurts her dad's heart to see his daughter being abused and making such, you know, a grave mistake. You know what I mean? And all because of her boyfriend, who was really a pimp, just really trying to, you know, manipulate her and put her out there like that. So it's crazy. It really is.
Mm-hmm. It is, and it shows you that if she has a father like Lawrence Fishburne who does have money and she still fell into the trap, think about the women who don't have a father and money, how easy it is for them to probably fall into that same trap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just shows you the lure and the appeal that this industry has, that unfortunately so many women see that and not see the consequence to it.
Do you feel that women who have low self-esteem are more susceptible to getting involved in pornography? Is that, I mean, low self-esteem or some sort of trauma, emotional trauma?
Definitely, because when you think about having low self-esteem, you recognize that it's attached to not feeling good about yourself. And so now people desiring you, that may make you feel a false sense of security, whereas when you understand your worth, you understand that I'm a child of the living God, I'm precious, I'm valuable, I'm a king's daughter, you begin to understand that, you're like, wait a minute, I'm not going to put myself on that because I am valuable. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, yes, when you do have low self-esteem, it becomes a door opener to so many ungodly behaviors, such as pornography.
Wow. You know, I want to, you know, really put a comment out there to the men. Like, you know, we really have to do what 1 Timothy 5:2 says, is that treat women like sisters, you know, with holiness, sobriety, and respect, not as objects. You know, we're supposed to treat women as there are, if they're not our wives, then there are sisters in Christ, you know, or there are sisters. We have to treat them as such. Because like you said, Alicia, earlier on in the show, is to look at a woman and lust in your heart after her is adultery, you know, and I think vice versa for the women as well, to view men as your brothers, you know what I'm saying, especially if you're not married to them. And, you know, taking that kind of mental outlook in interpersonal relationships will definitely help avoid a lot of the, you know, lustful things that are going on out there right now. So, Alicia,
yeah.
Well, we're almost getting to the end of the show. I mean, we still got a few minutes to go. And anything else you would like to add to today's topic?
Well, I just encourage people that if this is an area where you've struggled, don't be afraid to seek out help. Don't be afraid to confide in somebody who could help you walk through this process and through this journey. When you listen to some of the statistics that have been shared about how far-reaching pornography addiction goes, it shows you very clearly that you're not alone. And so don't be afraid. Don't let the enemy keep you trapped in darkness because you're afraid to open up and share, listen, this is what I'm struggling with. And so I would just absolutely encourage people to seek out godly counsel, seek out help, and to get the sort of resources that they need so that they can begin to overcome and conquer this addiction, and so that it's no longer controlling them, but they are the one who are, you know, who's in control of their own body, in control of their own situation. And then on the other side, I would say to any individual, such as a woman who may be trapped in this sort of industry, I would definitely encourage you that you are God's daughter. God loves you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and whatever set of circumstances may have led you to this situation where you feel there's no way out, there's no hope, know that in God there's always hope and that he has a great plan mm-hmm. for your life. I think about what it says in Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." I just encourage you to trust God to give you wisdom and how to walk out of that industry, because he will definitely send you a way of escape. He will send you somebody across your pathway. He'll send you help and resources. And so I just encourage you to look to him and trust him to give you the guidance and the wisdom that you need to begin to turn away from this lifestyle so that you can begin to establish a new legacy for your children and for those who will come after you so that they don't fall into the same trap that you fell into.
Man, Alicia, that's why we have you on the show. Like I've always said, that was wonderful.
Well, to God be the glory.
To God be the glory indeed, man. And Alicia, I would also say to the man that, remember what we talked about in the show, don't stop treating women like they're objects. They're human beings made in the image of God. We're supposed to honor them, protect them, nurture them, but not abuse them. So for all you porn addicts out there, it's never too late. Your theology can conquer your biology. So be led by the Spirit of God so you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Fight and keep on fighting. It can be a lifelong battle, but for others, it doesn't have to be a lifelong series of failed battles. So I just want to put that out there for all the men who are struggling in pornography, who keep saying to themselves, and I was one of them, until God delivered me. So I know how you guys feel. I know some of you turn to like it's a stress reliever. It's like a drug. You know, it can be tough. But know that God is for you. God can set you free. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for sins such as these. So you don't have to be a slave to pornography and sexually explicit material. You can be set free. Why do you need to be free? You need to be free because you need to live the life that God has called you to live. And one day you want to be married and you want to have a healthy relationship. You want to be able to relate to another human being of the opposite sex in a healthy and godly manner. So, Father God, I just want to pray for the men who are looking at porn, that their hearts will break, that they do not see just women, but see them as your image bearers, and that they will become highly sensitive to the reality of the demonic nature of the porn industry, and that they will put to death their sins and become protectors and defenders of women and give money to ministries and not to porn sites. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, Alicia, with that said, what do you think of today's show?
It was definitely an awesome topic, and hopefully through listening to today's topic, I really pray that people gain valuable insight, not only into the dangers of this industry, but hopefully some insight on how they can begin to be set free. So it was definitely a good topic to bring up, a good topic to discuss. And really, I'm sure we probably only scratched the surface of a lot of the things that we could have hit on, because I'm sure right. If we would have heard from some of testimonies or people who have actually been involved in this industry, we would have a different perspective of even how much of a stronghold this enemy, this industry has on people. So it was good that we at least brought it up and gave people an opportunity to discuss it and to even receive biblical insight on how they can begin to look at women and also conduct themselves in a way that will honor God.
Absolutely. And I think that, maybe one of these days, the next couple of weeks, we could do a part two and definitely try to hear from somebody who was actually caught up in the industry and now is being delivered from that. And maybe we can get some inside details as to what goes on in the industry and from their perspective, of course. I think that'll be a good show. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it definitely will be a good perspective. I think it's always best when you can hear from people firsthand in the industry, because they come with a different level of insight than what somebody else could when they are than what somebody else could, basically. So to hear somebody's personal testimony, and most importantly, just to hear how God has set somebody free, and that's so key for people to understand that there is no stronghold, there's no addiction, there's no issue that you deal with that the power of God's word cannot set you free from. And so it definitely is important to hear the testimonies of other people, because it even tells us in the word of God that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So even when people feel encouraged to stand up, because I know the enemy would want to make you be silent and keep you bound by shame. I can't believe that I dealt with this. But even as you begin to speak out and share how God helped you overcome, not only is it going to help you keep walking in freedom, but it's going to inspire somebody else that I can be free too. So it would be wonderful to have people on here that can share their testimony, because as they do, I'm sure other people are going to be inspired to an even deeper degree that I want to also be free.
Absolutely, that's right. You know, guys, if you're listening in, we're about to close the show, and please feel free to call us in next time, next week. We want to hear more of your comments, more of your testimonies, more of your questions. And again, this show is from a biblical perspective. We are believers in Jesus Christ, and but those of you who are not believers, you're more than welcome to listen to the show and call in anyway. We're not gonna judge you. We're not going to ram our beliefs down your throat, but we will stand for Christ in what we say and what we do. So I think we had a good show. I think we did pretty good, Alicia, for me and you on the show. We had a few people missing today, but that's okay. God had his way, and I think we hit some pretty good points. So my name is Raz Williams. I'm your host for Can We Talk Radio, and my co-host, Alicia Cheney. She did a fantastic job as always, and thanks, Alicia, for taking your time out. I know you're a busy woman, And I really appreciate you taking the time out to share with the people. And so, guys,
thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So, guys, please tune in same time next week, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we'll talk to you later. God bless.
Time to look above, and you'll know you can't sing about love without singing about me. Ooh. Singing about me. Without singing about me. Without singing about me. about love.